Okay, just, I think, let's do it in English today. Are you fine with that? Okay. If you can take your Bibles out and you can go to Luke 18, verse 1 to 7. I need to get my, I'm going to get to that place later. Great, so we're carrying on with this theme of the upside down kingdom. It's basically, it carries this idea that the kingdom of God is so different to the kingdom of this world. And many times when you start getting into the kingdom of God, you're like, whoa, this is completely different to what I've expected or the way that I've been living. And it's a struggle sometimes to get our mindsets to the place where we think godly and where we think like God. Because we want to be in God's kingdom. We don't want to be in the kingdom of the world. Because we know the king of this world is not a good king. He's the devil. He will tell us good stuff, but he will always lead us into destruction. But the king of the kingdom is a good God. He is Jesus. He gave himself. So it carries this idea that there's a new dispensation. There's a new kingdom that we can embrace, and God, there's blessing in this kingdom. So we've been doing a couple of sermons on that, and a week ago I also started sharing on that God is not a God that gives immediate satisfaction. He's not into, hey, McDonald's God, go through drive-through and get your 6 rand ice cream. Or 6 rand, 3 rand, 6 rand ice cream, which is a bargain if you have kids. So here's a tip for those dads, and there's a lot of them coming in. If you want to get your kids, you want to take them away from your wife, so you want to be the hero to your wife, and you want to be the hero to your kids, who are Stoeflemmet in club, you take them to McDonald's, it costs you 6 rand for an ice cream, and they play the in McDonald's for an hour. So it's an hour's entertainment for 6 rand ice cream. It's amazing. If you're a bargain hunter like me, that is amazing. So, but that's sometimes what happens. Like, you come to God and yes, it's immediate. The forgiveness of sin is immediate. But then God wants us to love him so much that we are willing to walk the long road with him. A lot of us have had experiences with people, or even in our own lives, we've had the encounter with God, but we couldn't endure with that same zeal. And then we feel like up and down emotional Christians, or we get offended with God, or we get offended with church, and we just backslide a little. But God wants us, and he wants us for the long haul. So this morning I feel like a tour guide. I feel like, hey, I've taken you on this journey, and we've been very safe in our boats. We have our life jackets on, and then we arrive at this waterfall. And then this tour guide's like, okay, so it said adventure, but some of you can stay in the boat, or you can go up with me, and you can jump over the waterfall into the water with me. For only those who are keen. But I can tell you, if you are coming with me, you won't die, because nobody has died before, because it's only 4 meters high. But you're going to have this experience of adventure. Because in a way, I feel like that. I want to allow you to be safe and comfortable. But in a way, I also want to challenge you to that point where you discover the real adventure of God. Where we go on, not only drinking milk, but going on to the solid food. So I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. It says, we do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. So God says, hey, it's fine if you are where you're at. There's some wisdom and some great principles that you'll learn in this church, in your Bible study, but there's a greater wisdom that I've predestined for you to go into, and that will actually take you into the mysteries of God. So in a sense, what we're saying this morning is like, we want to go deeper. We want to have those, even just in the context of South Africa, what we prayed for now, we want to have those difficult conversations. We don't want to be on the sideline and just wait for something good to happen. We want to have those deep conversations. We want to have those difficult conversations. And the same is with our relationship with God. We want to go deeper with God because we know there's so much more. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to cultivate a prayer life. As simple as that might seem. Is to cultivate a prayer life, and a prayer life where you spend, and here's a difficult part, long hours with God. More than 20 minutes in the morning. And so for some of you, oh, more than 20 minutes, oh no, can't do that. What kind of entertainment does God have? He's not a serious guy. He, would that be, can I actually do it 20 minutes, more than 20 minutes? Yes, you can. And if you look at this scripture specifically, you'll see that this is what you created for those deep stuff and that deep, mature wisdom. It's the adventure, climbing up. Climbing up the waterfall and then jumping down. When I was in high school, we did these Sien Sand Kampe. Who of you know Sparks Estreza? But he was famous for slapping girls in the face and throwing them off cliffs. That was what he was for in newspapers. But something that he taught me is that everybody in them wants adventure. So you would make a stand at this 15-meter cliff called Drienkrans in Hermanus, and he would say, there are only two groups of people in this world, those who have jumped Drienkrans and those who haven't. And then as the first person goes, even the sweetest little girl, 14-year-old, she feels the urge in her just to jump off that cliff. And yes, if you see the scars afterwards, because some of them just jump and then they fall backwards, and then there's blow boda whirls. But afterwards, all of us had these stories of, hey, we did it. We went deeper. We went beyond our fear. So this is an invitation to go beyond what you are used to. Deeper into God. Because if we really believe what we really believe, and what we are singing now is that we sang so many good songs about God's goodness. And there was this line that Christo ended the song with. It said something like, we bear our cross, and we bear our cross, but we wait for our crown, and we tell people about the treasure. Something like that. So we have difficulty now, but the reason why we can endure the difficulty is because we found the treasure. And we're waiting for our crowns. We're waiting for that time when Jesus comes back and he says, hey, this is really who I've created you. But there's already in this dispensation, in this age, where we can just go like, God, you are so good. It is possible. It is possible to live in God's constant presence. It is possible to understand and be overwhelmed by God in such a way that nothing in this world can overwhelm you. Nothing. If you are overwhelmed by God, nothing in this world can overwhelm you. So two stories that I want to share with you. One is this guy, Samuel Morris. So it's a very, if you want to get this book, very easy to read, but such an amazing story of how somebody encountered God and just went for it. So he's 14 years old. He lives in Liberia. He is a crown prince. What's that? He's crown prince. So he was supposed to be the chief, and his dad was the chief of this tribe. And then the other tribe, the enemies came, and he was abducted, and then he was tortured. And while they were carrying on torturing him, they just saw this light, this amazing light. God showed up, and all of them ran away, and suddenly he was left by himself. And in this process of trying to figure out what this light was, he comes to the understanding that it was God. He runs away, meets somebody that's a Christian, and ends up meeting a missionary on the coast that tells him everything about the Bible, everything about Jesus. And this missionary then tells him, but hey, you need to understand and know the Holy Spirit. And he's like, where will I get somebody to tell me about the Holy Spirit? And this missionary says, go to New York. In New York, there was a guy, Stephen Merritt, that told her about the Holy Spirit. So he prays God because he now understands that God's for him. Who of you know that if God shows up in a situation where you get tortured and he allows your enemies to run away or just shows them the way, that you'll know that God is for you? He's like, okay, God, you are for me. You need me to understand. You want me to understand the Holy Spirit. So he prays that there will be a boat, and eventually he gets onto the boat. He goes to New York, and he says he's going to look for Stephen Merritt, a little African boy. I think at that time he was 16 years old. He ends up meeting Stephen Merritt, and he says, hey, I want to be introduced to the Holy Spirit. So the story goes like he introduces him to the mission station, and then he leaves him there for a while, and then he goes shopping or whatever, and then he comes back. When he comes back, this little guy from Africa has already led 20 people to the Lord. He's just so full of God. And it was a small guy with big faith, just willing to go where God leads. Willing to go where this adventure guide, which is God, takes him. That's the one person. The other one is a guy called Rhys Hulls. He lived in the time of the Welsh Revival. And he was known for prayer and intercession. And they said that during the Second World War, they prayed, and they got into the strategies of the Nazis, and they helped the Allies eventually to win the war, just by praying and interceding, going deeper and deeper. And the reason why they know that, because they took notes of all their prayer meetings, and they could see that they were understanding what Germany was doing in that current time. So what I'm sharing with you is just to get you, whetten your appetite for this more, for this going deeper, more than 20 minutes Christians or Sunday Christians. There's so much more. And I think even in our, in your lives and in this church, it is amazing what God's doing. And so many people just understanding the power of prayer, understanding that there's so much more. So the other thing that we need to not be tempted into is to feel guilty now when I'm preaching. Feel guilty about you not doing enough, because that's the enemy. If it's conviction where God's saying, hey, there's so much more. I actually want you to be a Samuel Morris. I want you to be a Rhys Hulls. And you're like encouraged to do that. That is God. But if you feel guilty now while I'm preaching and you're like, hey, I can only do 10 minutes. Just give that 10 minutes to God. We know what he will do. He will multiply. He will multiply that. So let's look at two scriptures. The one is in Luke 6, verse 5 to 10. Oh, sorry, it's 11. I think I changed it on the slides. Yes. So it's sometimes a piece of scripture that we skip. It's where Jesus' disciples came to him and they asked him, hey, Master, teach us how to pray. And then we know what follows. It's the Our Father that he teaches them. And then he carries on in verse 5. He also said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I don't have anything to offer him. Then he will answer from the inside and say, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children, and I have gone to bed. I can't get up to give you anything. Then verse 8, I tell you, even though you won't get up and give him anything, because he is a friend, Yet because of his friend's shameless boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. So, what God is saying is, the disciples are saying, hey, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus says, this is the kind of prayer that I want you to pray. And then he tells them how they should pray with persistence. He gives them this, I love this example. You're standing and you're like, oh, somebody's going to ring the bell. And then you know that they can't see through the garage door, so the cars are locked away. Maybe they'll just go away. And then they ring the bell again. And then after the fourth time, you're like, okay, I'm going to open this door because these people won't allow me just to sleep peacefully for the night. So what God is a simple thing that he wants to emphasize. It is just to be persistent in our prayers. In other words, nagging God for his will to be done. Let's read Luke 18 together. And I'll give you some time. Luke 18, 1 to 7. If you don't have a Bible, it's just a revolutionary thing that we're doing. We're reading our Bible, bringing our Bibles to church. So if you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand quickly. We'll bring it. There's no shame in that. Jesus using exactly the same. He says, hey, this lady got a justice. Why? Why did she get justice? Because he was a good judge? No. This guy wasn't a good judge. So I just see it's a typical a single mom that cares for her children. And she's like, I'm going to give these children of mine the best life that I've never had. And I'm going to beg. And I'm going to bug this judge. Because in that society, widows were frowned upon. They were outcasts. And then Jesus uses this example of this lady. She, this outcast, actually gets an answer to what she wants because she was just persistent in what she wanted. Not because the person that you went to was good and wanted to help her and saw her as a charity case, but because she was persistent. And then in the end, it says there in verse 6, listen to what the unjust judge say. Will not God grant justice to the elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay helping them? I tell you that he will swiftly grant them justice. And then the last bit, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So there's something that he equates persistence to. He says it's faith. And we know without faith, it is impossible to please God. So without persisting in prayer, specifically asking, it is impossible to please God, if you want to make that equation. It is impossible to please God in the fullness that he has for you and that he wants to give you if you are not persisting in your faith and in your prayer life. And this specifically refers to asking. And all of us, we know that. If you're a parent, and I've used this example before, if your kid comes to you and he's like, Mama, I took a marshmallow. And you know that it is your most stubborn kid. He is always going to carry on asking for the marshmallow. then you'll, in a way, you'll start negotiating. You're going to say, okay, after you've eaten, after you have brushed your teeth, because it's not good just to give it to him straight away, because else he learns that he can always just throw a tantrum or be persistent in the beginning, and then he gets something that he wants. So it's not good parenting. So you say, hey, if you brush your, okay, not maybe brush your teeth, because then you, if you've eaten your food, or if you've played nicely with your little brother, you can get a marshmallow as a reward. And in a way, you're actually expecting him to forget about it. But he doesn't. Because he has this faith of this widow. And he's like, while he's playing, okay, mama, I've played 5 minutes with little Amo. I need a marshmallow now. No, he said 10 minutes, Nicholas. 10 minutes. And then after 10 minutes is gone, he's like, mama, marshmallow. And you're like, it's actually 9 minutes and 30 seconds. Another 30 seconds. And then you give him that marshmallow. Why? Because you think it's good for his health. No. Because he is persistent. And if you read on that, especially that piece in Luke 11, it talks about God being a good father. And he will give us that what we ask, especially when we ask for the Holy Spirit. So if you want to go deeper, if you want to have more faith, faith to move mountains, we must spend more time in prayer. It's simple. And yes, sometimes you need to corporately experience the presence of God, but you also need to go back to your own closet, your prayer closet, your room, and say, okay, God, I've experienced something today in worship that is amazing. Because you are surrounded by people that's full of God. People in this church, people visiting and family members, they come to me after and say, hey, Amo, your people are full of God. I can see it in them. I can experience it during worship. And then you will walk and you'll experience that. But then you'll wait for the next church service. No, don't wait for the next church service. Go into your room Sunday evening, or maybe come tonight again and just sit through the worship and say, okay, this is what it feels like. This is the glory of God. I'm going to pursue that in my quiet time. And then on Monday morning, you wake up early. Or if you're like me, you're not a morning person. You stay up late. And you're like, I'm going to pray. Oh, shucks, how do I do this? And I remember a church that really worked is when we sang. Okay, but I can't really sing. Okay, but I'm going to sing on my own. Lock the doors. You silicone the doors so people can't hear what you're singing. And you sing and you worship God. And after 5 minutes, you get so bored. It sounds so repetitive because you don't really know all the words of the song. What do? Then you just do 5 minutes for the whole week. That's fine. And then you go 10 minutes. Then you go 15 minutes. And then you go like, hey, I saw somebody spoke about intercession at church. It's like 5:30 on a Monday morning. Oh, crazy. The worst time of the week for me. Monday. No, it's the best time of the week. Because we want to start the week with intercession. And you're like, I'm going to phone Runel. Hey, Runel, I can only do 5 minutes in prayer. But maybe if I'm with you in intercession, I will be able to do 7 minutes. And this is my goal for this week. 7 minutes in prayer. And then you phone Runel and you get into Runel's group and you pray. Just stay away from the WhatsApp group for a while because there's so much going on there. Maybe you're a little overwhelmed by the WhatsApp group. And then you're like, hey, Runel. And then suddenly you're like, this is amazing. We pray for something and it happens. It happens. We pray for Luke's baby and then Luke's baby comes out of ICU and Luke says it's the most amazing thing that has ever happened in their marriage, in their family. It's for a baby to have been in ICU. Was that God's plan? Never God's plan. God works everything for the good. It's prayer that came with that situation that actually brought the victory. And now suddenly you're like, I stumbled upon the most amazing thing in this world and it's called prayer. Why did nobody tell me how amazing this thing is? And you know what? Then nobody will stop you. But if I'm going to stand here in front and every week go like,
You need to pray more. You need to pray more.
It's not going to work because it's not internally motivated. But if you have you've had an encounter with God, then it's going to change. And you're like, oh man, prayer is the most amazing thing ever. I love prayer, but there's sometimes that I know that I need to pray. I'm like, hey, it's going to be a struggle to get into that place where just every God overwhelms me and nothing of this world overwhelms me. But I've now, just because of my experience, know that if I'm in this place where I feel like a dog and there's children screaming around me and there's so much responsibility and I feel like I'm just gonna die in the spirit or whatever, I know that I need to push in with prayer. And sometimes I sit there for 5 minutes and the only thing that I can get out is like, thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love them. I love them. I love them. And then suddenly, after spending some time in the presence of God for a while, the Holy Spirit just, he's always been there, but I awaken to his reality. And if I'm awakened to his reality, I can walk out of there and I'm like, hey, love kids screaming. Love all the chaos. Love all the food all over our place. Love it. Love it. Because Jesus overwhelms me. And you can ask my wife. I've learned to embrace chaos. And the only way that I can do that is because I love him in the simplicity in my room. In the private. I love the big meetings. That 13th of April, if you're not there, you're going to miss out. I love those big meetings. I love it. But it's here, in the presence of God. Sometimes feeling so awkward and so useless, or even sometimes falling asleep. But that has happened to me a couple of times while I'm praying. But getting, just pursuing in that, and then eventually like, oh God, you're in me, and you're overflowing. That's where we need to be. So during intercession, I keep on getting the same vision when I pray, is that we're standing around an altar and there's a fire. Like typical men, that's what we're going to do in the men's camp. We just stand around the fire. It's not going to be a lot of talking. And we stand there and we bring our sacrifices. And this morning, I just saw that we are standing there and we are bringing our swords. But it's rusted and it's some just have a piece of metal, like a kufut or something. And we just stand there. But we bring our metal, we bring it to ons eister, so sit it all, any fear. And then God, with the fire of God, he transforms it into his weapons. But the only way that you're going to give him the opportunity to transform that weapon is if you keep the weapon there long enough. Sometimes we put the iron in the fire and we pull it out. We say, hey, God didn't do anything. I've tried this prayer thing. No, it's just because you need to keep it in there longer. 5 minutes, yes, it will take you far. But if you can do 3 hours at a time, it will take you further. And then if you have periods where you just take yourself out of the day or out of your normal routine and you spend time with God, then those in-between moments where you have nothing to do, 5 minutes, you have 5 minutes, then you're going to have 5 minutes and God just overwhelms you with your love, with his love and his presence, because you know what it feels. Another maybe illustration is, so I started surfing. I'm trying to surf. So in the beginning, I really struggled. I'd get into the waves. So many times I fall off my board. So I've learned that I need to first try the smaller waves. And then this past Friday, there was some big swell. So I went where the big guys go. Right there at the back. Usually I'm in between They call it the place of the vultures, where like if somebody misses a wave, then you can jump under the wave kind of thing. So I went there where the big guys go. And then I tried to take these massive waves. Oh, it felt like massive to me. Maybe Celine is a good surfer. That's not massive. It wasn't massive for her. It felt like massive. And I couldn't stand on any of those waves. But I tried. And it's the same. It's the same with just cultivating this prayer life. In the beginning, you're like, what am I doing? 10 minutes. I'm falling flat on my face all the time. I don't think this prayer thing works. But you need to persist. And then you get fed in the Spirit. And if you're fed in the Spirit, you can be like the guy that I went surfing with, Tinus Liniki. He just jumps in at the back while he's paddling out. He catches a wave and he has more skill than I will ever have. But just because he has trained himself, he's been faithful in stewarding his faith, his skill in surfing. And it's the same with prayer. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, I want to end off with this. So it's the same piece of scripture that we started with. We talked about the wisdom and being mature. And then Paul says, like it's written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. And the context here is getting into the mature stuff. Filling yourself with the mature wisdom. In other words, persisting in this place of prayer. Proverbs 25 verse 1, it says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of a king, and we're all kings, if we're God's sons, to search it out. There are gold, and you can search it out during persistent prayer. There's so many things that God wants to reveal to you about his love towards you, about his plans for this world. But you need to persist in prayer. That is the key. So here's maybe a way of kickstarting this persisting in prayer thing. So on the 9th to the 13th of April, so that's just after the school holidays. The Monday, I think, is still a school holiday. So the 9th is the Monday, 13th is Friday. There will be a team from YWAM in Hawaii. And when I asked them what they wanted to do, they said, hey, Armel, we are a prayer and missions team. So why don't we'll just come together in your church and we'll allow people to come with us and we'll worship and we'll pray from 5:30 to 7:30 in the mornings. I'm like, well, that sounds great. So I want to invite you. If you want to maybe kickstart this thing of being persistent in prayer, come do it with other people. And these people have done it before, and they are very excited about it. It's young people, they're excited about prayer. That is something that God has done. If young people get excited about prayer. So 5:30 to 7:30, they're gonna be in the church and we're just gonna worship, we're gonna pray. And then we're gonna track our performance during that week. So here's my faith that I'm putting my faith out. I promise you, if you start, maybe you can't make all the meetings, that's fine. If you start, just putting your faith out there, 5:30 to 7:30, you just put your faith out and say, God, if I start with the presence of God in this week, I want to be more effective at my job. I want to be more peaceful with my husband. I want to be more faithful in everything else, better steward of my time. So literally ask God for these things. Say, God, I'm in a way I'm making this deal with you. I'm going to pursue you first in this whole week. I'm going to wake up early. I'm not a morning person. I'm going to wake up early. And I'm going to pursue you this whole week with the idea that I start with the presence of God. So if you want to make that commitment, pray about it tonight. Because it's sacrifice. It is sacrifice. But sacrifice, the fire falls on sacrifice. Okay, let's keep being seated. Okay, great. Close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us, God. Lord, I want to declare this over the congregation, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard what you want to do for us. Lord, every other thing that's not of you, that's overwhelming us, in the name of Jesus, we say, it's not allowed. Devil, you're not allowed in our midst. You're not allowed in our heads. Anxiety, you're not allowed in our heads. Guilt, that's not conviction of the Holy Spirit, you're not allowed in our heads. Feeling guilty about anything from reading your Bible to not spending enough time with your family, that is not from God. The conviction of the Holy Spirit that brings about action, that is from God. Jesus, and we ask for the conviction, God. We ask that people will be convicted by your presence and your goodness. And like Romans 2 verse 4 says, it's the goodness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. Lord, it's the goodness of you that will lead us into this culture of persistent prayer. Jesus, we know that you said yourself that this will be a house of prayer for the nations, for all the different culture groups, not only for the nations, but also with the nations, God. While every eye is closed, if you're sitting here and you've never met Jesus, and this persistent prayer thing is maybe a little too far-fetched for you, God's saying, I am convicting your heart of sin, righteousness, and judgment, even through a sermon of prayer, because my goodness goes beyond words. My goodness is here for you to encounter today, and that's to take away your sin and give you a future and give you hope. Because Christians are the only people, the group of people that have hope. Because it's Jesus is the source of hope. So if you're sitting here and you don't know Jesus, I want you to raise your hand very high. Just say, that's me, Amal. I need to meet Jesus. We're just going to spend a minute or two just quietly with God. No music, because that's usually what happens when we're alone. We don't have access to good music. Or I'm just going to push in a little into who God is. So just for a minute, just sit still and relax in his presence. If you're experiencing any accusation now, that is not of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you are waiting for us in our rooms. But you're also waiting for us wherever we go, and you're next to us, Lord. We want to be a church that takes serious the Great Commission that said, lo, I'm with you, even unto the end of the age. I'm with you. Lord, you are Emmanuel, God with us. Your desire to be with us is so much greater than our desire to be with you. And you not only have a desire for us to be with you, you also empower us to be with you, God. Lord, I ask that you take us baby steps into your presence, that you'll give us those 5 minutes of joy in your presence, and then 10 minutes, and then 15 minutes, God. Where in the end we will start changing nations, not by the many words or the list that we pray through, but by the the encounter that we have with God while we are praying, and the heart of God that's been revealed in such a way to us that we know that we know that we know that this is the will of God for our families, for our businesses, for our city, for South Africa, for the world. Lord, I ask that we will be people of conviction, and a conviction that we've received in a prayer life. We love you, Jesus. Amen.